Okay, let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. We're using this as the basis for this series, which is consider the source. Be very careful who you listen to. And the reason is that we need to be careful about the various voices that are in the world as well as in the church today. We've seen in the last couple of sessions the fact that there are Trojan horse doctrines that come disguised and that come hidden, that once they get to you, they will really destroy your Christian life and experience and not allow you to live life the way God intended for us to live. We were just talking before we began this morning. There's a song we teach our children. Probably, if not all of you, most of you know it, every promise in the book is mine. That happens to be false. It is not true. Every promise in the book is not promise to us. Only the promises that God has made to us through the Apostle Paul, because his writings, his letters are specifically to the body of Christ and about the body of Christ. And if you start claiming promises that were made to the nation of Israel, you will not be able to live life the way God intended for you to live it. You will be disappointed. You will be disheartened. And some have actually given up because it appears that God is not responding to the requests of Christians who are claiming things that weren't written to us. So as a basis, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, Paul says, and the things, he's speaking to Timothy, the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit these things that you've heard of me to faithful men who then shall be able to teach others also. And then, you know, the importance of taking the things that Paul has written to us and the instructions he gives to us here. Then further in verse 15, Paul tells us how to study the Word of God. People say, well, how do you know how to interpret the Bible and how can you deal with the apparent contradictions in the Bible? Because it appears to be saying one thing and then it appears to contradict that and say something else. Well, the only way to be able to do that, according to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, is to study the Word of God in a way that is approved of God, in a way that God is the way God intended for us to get it. In 2 Timothy 3:16, Paul says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And it tells us what it's profitable for. The only way to get the profit out of the Word of God is to follow the instructions that God gives us through the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 2:15, where it says that we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman, we will see that word again later, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In other words, understanding how not man, how God divides the word of God. What are the different divisions? What are the different segments of the Word of God? And the way to do that, of course, is to ask four basic questions as you study the Word of God. Who wrote it or who said it? And so there are things that are said by the Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry. There are things that were said by God through Moses to the nation of Israel. There are things that God told the early disciples through the apostles. And today we have God speaking to us through our one apostle for the one body of Christ, the Apostle Paul. So to study the Word of God is really an important facet of being approved of God, being tested and approved of God. It's the way God is pleased with students of the Word of God. And we're workmen. It doesn't mean we just lightly read the Word of God. Workmen apply themselves 100% to the study of God's Word, which is what the word study says. We study, we're workmen that need not be ashamed, ashamed before others and especially ashamed before God, rightly dividing the word of truth. So back to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. So now, we've talked about making sure that we consider the source and the things that you have heard of me, Paul says in verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me. So Paul is instructing Pastor Timothy, who was pastoring the church at Ephesus, and he had a ministry there, and he says that you are to take the things that you've heard of me, not the things you've heard of Moses, not the things you've heard from Christ in his earthly ministry, not the things you've heard from the 12 apostles, not the things that you've heard from the prophets, the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses. That's an interesting word that Paul uses here. The things you've heard of me among many witnesses. So this was not done secretly. Paul didn't get together with Timothy in a private room and teach him things. This was open teaching. You, Timothy, you've been among others who have heard these things from me. It wasn't done secretly. Among many witnesses, the word witnesses is the Greek word martis, from which we get the English word martyr. And so that's an interesting use of the word. And it includes everything that Paul taught as he and Timothy traveled to different regions and assemblies of believers. Paul wrote 1 and 2 Timothy during his second imprisonment in Rome, just before his own martyrdom. So a witness was one who was willing to give his or her life for the truth, for the ministry of the Word of God. All right, then the Apostle Paul makes sure that we know and understand that there is now a new message, there is now a new good news that God has for the world, as opposed to other good news that was proclaimed beforehand. And the Apostle Paul claims that the gospel that he teaches, the good news that he brings, was given to him specifically. If you go to Romans chapter 2 and verse 16, here's a brief list of the times that Paul uses this term. Romans chapter 2 and verse 16. Paul is speaking in Romans chapter 2 about God's judgment upon unbelievers and the basis and standards of God's judgment, that it is according to truth, it is according to what a person believes. And then in verse 16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men, or the thoughts of men, by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. It's no one else that claims to have their own gospel, their own good news that was given specifically and uniquely to them. Paul claims that this was given to him uniquely and specifically and individually. It's my gospel by which Paul says here that people will be judged. In Romans chapter 16, which is the end of the book of Romans, Paul speaks in verse 25. He says, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel." So it is the gospel that God gave to the Apostle Paul. The good news that God gave to the Apostle Paul is the good news that we are to proclaim. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the first four verses, Paul says that this gospel that he proclaimed, Paul says to the Corinthians, in which you stand and by which you are saved. So we're to proclaim specifically the message of the gospel that Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And then the expanded teaching of the Apostle Paul, which is also included here in verse 25, God is able to establish you according to my gospel, understanding all that God did in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the work of Christ on the cross, all that God accomplished there, which only God reveals through the Apostle Paul, and we're to be established according to my gospel, Paul says, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. There's a body of truth, which Paul in other places calls the faith, and here the gospel, the revelation of Jesus Christ according to the mystery, which is a new revelation, a mystery by nature, is something that was concealed beforehand, but now has been revealed. And Paul says here, which was kept secret since the world of began, but now is manifest. And so Paul here once again refers to this gospel as my gospel. We cannot take any gospel, even that you find in Scripture, and start proclaiming that as good news for us. There's the gospel of the kingdom, which was proclaimed by the Lord Jesus Christ, and he commissioned his apostles to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom. And what were the words? The words are significant. The words are important. The gospel contains words that people are to base their faith on. He says, preaching the kingdom, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So here was the promise made by God and through Moses, through the prophets, that there was a kingdom coming that God was going to give to the nation of Israel. And when Christ was here on earth and when Christ commissioned the 12, he commissioned them to proclaim that kingdom that's been promised for hundreds of years. Now it's at hand. It's here. It's about to be introduced. And that's what we see all the way to Acts chapter 2, 3. And then that message, that gospel, was rejected by the nation of Israel. God sets aside the nation of Israel in Acts chapter 7. And then now we have a new apostle with a new gospel. And that troubles a lot of people, that Scripture actually says that there's more than one gospel. We sing only one gospel. Well, it is true there's only one gospel for us today, which is the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the gospel that the Apostle Paul proclaimed. All right, and then finally in 2 Timothy, back to 2 Timothy chapter 2, where Paul says in verse 2, the verse we're considering now, and then he says in verses 7 and 8, consider what I say, and the Lord give you understanding. It's consider what I say. It's important that believers today consider the things that Paul says, because promises given by God in Paul's epistles, we can claim promises from there. Verse 7, then, consider what I say, and the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember, that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. So in being careful about considering the source and being careful about who we listen to, we need to listen to those things that the Apostle Paul has taught us. And something we make a lot out of this point, but the reason is because God teaches it over and over again, and it's very much the very thing that God wants us to learn and understand so that we're very careful who we listen to, what scripture we apply to our lives. So we have the gospel of that was revealed to the Apostle Paul, and then the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Paul claims in many places that this mystery was revealed to him, hidden before, revealed now, as we saw in Romans chapter 16. It's really making sure that we understand all that God revealed to the Apostle Paul in what he calls the mystery, in other places, the faith, the body of truth that was revealed to the Apostle Paul, which is then revealed to us. So, again, 2 Timothy chapter 2, the things that you've heard of me, Paul says, you don't listen to Paul, and you will be building your life with the wrong materials on a foundation that is not laid up for us. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, this is how important it is for us to listen, consider the source, and listen to what God has said to us, and listening to those things that he has taught. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning with verse 9, remember the word in 2 Timothy 2:15, workmen that need not be ashamed. We do work, the work of studying, the work that we do, studying the way God told us to study the Word of God, and then doing work that is successful and spiritually beneficial to us and to others, and it results in not being ashamed before God. Verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. We are laborers together with God. We are working together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building, according to the grace of God which is given unto me. All over Paul's letters, you see the importance of what Paul says about himself, what was given to him, what we need to listen to, whom we need to follow, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation. So we're building together with God. And the Apostle Paul has laid the foundation, and another builds thereon, but let every man take heed how he builds thereon. Okay? So be careful how you build on the foundation that is laid by the Lord, the Apostle Paul. There is only one foundation, Paul teaches us, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. And there are two buildings that have been built in history over that one foundation. There's the building that is built by the nation of Israel. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ according to prophecy. Now, we have the same foundation, Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery. And now we've got to be careful that we build with the materials that God wants us to build with. So he says, be careful. Let every man take heed. Be very careful about how we build on that foundation. So we're to follow strictly the instructions that are given to us by the Apostle Paul. And the same as we saw in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10 and 11, as we saw in 2 Timothy 2:15, workmen that need not be ashamed. So Paul is the architect. He is the general contractor. He's the one in charge of building this building. He is the master builder. And in 1 Timothy, keep your hand in 1 Corinthians 3. We'll be right back there. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul speaks of himself as the pattern. Verse 15 and 16. 1 Timothy 1, 15 and 16. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern. A pattern for them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. So the Apostle Paul, his doctrine, what he was taught by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and what he teaches us in his letters, in his epistles, that's the pattern. Paul is the pattern, and what he has laid out in the Word of God is the pattern by which we should build this building and build our lives. When you, if you are a seamstress and you design a dress to be built or a clothing, piece of clothing to be dressed, you draw and you make a pattern with clear instructions and measurements of how this needs to be developed, how this needs to be made. It's to be made according to the pattern. When you build a house, you've got an architect that goes into all the intricacies of everything that goes into building that house. He builds a pattern for how to build that house, including all aspects of it, the electrical, the plumbing, the foundation, everything is in that architectural pattern that the contractor follows in order to efficiently and effectively build that house. Paul says here that if you're going to build this building, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where the Apostle Paul has laid this foundation, he's the master builder, he's the contractor, and he's the one that he's the one that is the pattern for us. His teaching, his doctrine, he's laid out the pattern by which we are to operate as members of the body of Christ in the church and in the world. That's the pattern. So consider the source. Be careful who you listen to, because there are a lot of voices out there. And we know that Satan himself is a master at taking scripture and trying to get you to misapply it and misuse it. He did that right at the beginning when he tempted Adam and Eve. When he tempted Adam, he started propagating wrong doctrine to him. He took scripture and misapplied the Word of God. He took scripture and took some portions away from it that were critical. He took scripture and added things to it. That's Satan's tactic, is to use part of his tactic, part of his plan of evil, is to take scripture and try to get you to believe that because it is scripture, because it's in the Bible, every promise of the book is to be claimed and to be lived by. Not true. And then he used the exact same tactics with the Lord Jesus Christ in the temptation of Christ and started quoting scripture to him. And Christ said, no, he corrected Satan as he misquoted scripture and misapplied scripture and brought scripture in every one of those temptations. Christ brought scripture rightly divided. He understood, obviously, how to apply scripture, the right scripture, to that situation. And he was able to defeat Satan as he took scripture and tried to get Jesus to do things that didn't apply to him at that moment. So, again, that's why we need to be very careful who we listen to and what we apply to our lives. And the key, there's a key to this massive door, this heavy door that lets us into this amazing room. The key is rightly dividing the word of truth. That opens the door and will get you to see all kinds of wonderful and amazing things. And so the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. And so next we have the work of building. And by the way, building, the word being built up or building is literally the word edification. The word edification is to be built up. And that's the ministry that we have toward each other. That's the ministry of believers to the unsaved world, is to proclaim the gospel of the grace of God. It's to get people to understand that they're lost sinners in enemy territory before God, and that God wants them reconciled to himself, because God has done everything that is needed for sinners to be reconciled to God. And as ambassadors of Christ, we proclaim that message. And then once a person is in the body of Christ, once a person is saved, the method, the process that God uses is that ministry and that process of edification, building up individual believers so that they achieve spiritual maturity and strength and are grounded in the Word of God. So that's the way we're to do that. And so, again, Paul is the architect, the general contractor. And again, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and you'll see two distinctly different types of materials that will determine what is of value and what lasts forever and what disappears. And that's the context. In the context of being workmen, in the context of being co-laborers with Christ, in what he's doing today, we are taking materials. We need to use the right materials. We're building on the foundation of that Paul built, which is Jesus Christ, the gospel of the grace of God. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day, according to the scriptures, and the revelation, the proclamation of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. It couldn't be clearer. So we have to, once we hear it, we have to deliberately reject that and say that, no, we're going to do whatever we want to do with the Word of God, which we cannot do, and not be ashamed before God. So now back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. There are two distinct types of materials. At Paul, the context here is, Paul says, verse 9, we are laborers together with God. Verse 10, we are building together. Let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. And now he says, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, there are two types of materials. If any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, and then the second category, wood, hay, and stubble. These are the materials. We are co-laborers with Christ. We are workmen that should not be ashamed. All right? So be careful how you build, Paul says. There's gold, silver, and precious stones. That's one category. The other category, wood, hay, and stubble. Verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest. What is that work? It's the work of building. It's the work of edification. It's what are we teaching and what are we learning and applying to our lives to build us up to spiritual maturity. All right? So every man's work, verse 13, at the judgment seat of Christ, every man's work shall be made manifest. It's going to be revealed what work did we do with what materials. What materials did we use in order to build this structure that God wants us to build? As workmen, what materials did we use? Materials are critical when you're building a structure. If you build a big edifice, a big skyscraper downtown, you're going to have to use a lot of steel. You're going to have to use a lot of very strong materials that are able to withstand the pressure of the weight and the weather and everything else. Now, if the architect or the builder is careless and say, I'm not going to follow it, the exact pattern that the architect has given, and instead of steel, I think I'll use cardboard. Well, I'm just being ridiculous to make a point. You build that, it may look beautiful, you can paint it nicely, but the first time a storm comes, that whole structure falls apart. And that's what Paul is saying here. Be careful what materials you build in the process of building, in the process of edifying one another and finding edification and building up in your own life. Every man's work shall be made manifest. Well, you could say that in a big structure, the work will be manifest by what happens when the storms come, when the wind comes, when the rain comes. That will reveal of what nature and what materials that building was built with, as opposed to being built with steel and concrete and so forth. In God's work, God is going to look at your workmanship. God is going to look at our lives at the end when we stand as members of the body of Christ, when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ. The picture here, the metaphor here, is that God is going to use fire. And he's going to test every man's work. Every believer's work is going to be tested by fire. That's the metaphor that is being used here. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. There will be an open declaration to you by the Lord Jesus Christ when he judges the secrets of men, when we're judged according to his gospel and according to his word to us. The day shall declare it because it shall be revealed by fire. So the metaphor here is that God is going to use fire. All right, so what happens? What happens with these materials when fire is applied to them? Well, if you go back to verse 12, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, well, what happens when the fire, when these are put to the fire? They're refined, they're purified, they're made stronger. There's a resiliency to that, as opposed to the opposite of that is wood, hay, and stubble. We use wood and hay and stubble, and we put it in a fire, we light a fire, and eventually it's all consumed, it's gone, it's worthless. And that's the point that Paul is making here. Be careful how you build and how you help others build their lives in the process of growing and developing spiritually into the full stature of the measure of Christ, into a full maturity which God has designed for us to grow into. And so there are many today who are building their lives, building their ministries, building the process of helping others spiritually with wood, hay, and stubble. Well, what is that? Well, that is similar to what Satan does in taking the Word of God and misapplying it, misusing it. And so it is not that people are, you know, teaching things that the cults teach or that false doctrines and false teachings teach. He's talking here about to the Corinthians who were exposed to people teaching the Old Testament and saying, you be careful that you don't take that which was given to the nation of Israel. Don't take the teaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of prophecy and try to make that fit into your life and try to make it apply to your life. That's why we've made such a point of instructing according to Paul's pattern that we'll be to be very careful what we apply, who we listen to. God says, through the Apostle Paul, listen to me. Follow me. Everything that I've taught you, that's what you're to listen to. And if you don't take that which Paul has taught us, that which Paul has proclaimed as the teaching for us, if you don't, then you must not be surprised at the judgment seat of Christ, if you're a Christian, and you've built with wood, hay, and stubble, if you've taken and you've built your life on the teaching of Moses, or you take your life and you've built your life on the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ in his teaching to the nation of Israel while he was here on earth, when his purpose, according to Romans 15, was to come and confirm the promises made to Israel, as opposed to what Paul is doing in his ministry to the Gentile world as a whole today, including individual Jews as well. But you must not be surprised when you come to the judgment seat of Christ as a Christian and you see things burnt up. It's a lot in my past that will be completely burnt up. Teaching and trying to apply things that don't apply. Listening to Moses, listening to the 12 apostles, listening to Jesus Christ in his ministry here on earth to Israel, trying to take the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes and trying to apply those to us. They don't. It is not the message that God has given to us. You build your life on all of that, and for the most part, it'll be wood, hay, and stubble that in the fire of Christ's judgment, at the judgment seat of Christ, it's just going to disappear. Now, that's tragic if you build your life that way. There's a shame involved in that, according to the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 2:15. There's a positive side to that. And that is, I am so glad that wood, hay, and stubble upon which I built some of my Christian life in the past, it's all going to be burnt up. It's all going to be dealt with by God, and it's going to disappear as worthless and useless. But fortunately, I heard the truth and understand what God is saying for us today and building lives with gold, silver, and precious stones, that which will last. And so you're a builder, whether you like it or not. As a Christian, you are a builder. And you need to be careful how you build. What are you building with? Are you building with materials that will be burnt up? Materials from the Old Testament, from Moses, from the law, etc.? Or are you building with the gold, silver, and precious stones following the pattern that is laid out for us by the Apostle Paul, because he is that pattern? And so he says, be careful how you build. Verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 3. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work, what work? The work of building. The work of building. With what materials are you building? If any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. God will reward that kind of building. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Has nothing to do with a Christian losing his or her salvation. Nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with how, once you become a Christian, what materials are you using to build your life and the lives of others? Because the last part of verse 15, but he himself shall be saved. So there's a person doesn't, once saved, you can't lose your salvation. You can't lose that which you didn't get by what you did. You can't lose by being bad that which you didn't gain by being good. Salvation is all of God. God is the one who does the saving. We are the ones that do the one thing that once we've done it, we haven't done anything at all, which is the believing. We trust. We believe the word that is proclaimed to us, and at that moment, we are saved. And so that's what's important to understand as we develop as believers, as we grow as believers. Now, let's see what else the Apostle Paul says. The Corinthians themselves were building with wood, hay, and stubble. And this is the whole point why Paul writes to the Corinthians. He says, you be careful how you build, because with all the problems the Corinthians were having, they were building with wood, hay, and stubble. They're developing nothing of benefit, even in their own assemblies. And so Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 to them, he speaks about a new wisdom that was given to us by God through the Apostle Paul. He says in chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, and I, brethren, when I came to you, I didn't come to you with some flowery, superior speech, with excellence, say, of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Which, if you study the context of that and what Paul is saying to the Corinthians, he's saying, look, I had to stick with the basics with you. I couldn't go beyond the basics. I just wanted you to know and to understand the ministry of Christ in his crucifixion. Verse 3, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. I didn't want you to trust in my flowery speech or or my wisdom, which, by the way, is an instruction to us of how we witness to people. So witnessing to people is sharing with them the message of reconciliation. We need to be careful as ambassadors of Christ that we're not doing things that we like to do in order to impress other people with our religiosity or our legalism. So careful about what you do, what you say to others, the opportunity, the ministry that we have to the unsaved is to them to preach Christ and Him crucified. As Brother Jim used to say, you draw a 3-foot circle around the cross, and that's where you go with an unbeliever, and you don't get out of there. So I cannot talk to an unbeliever about things he or she doesn't have the capacity to understand. And it's focus on the truth. What is it that will bring people to faith? It's the message, the words that are spoken by God through the Apostle Paul in his gospel. And he says, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing or persuasive words of man's wisdom, but it was in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them which are mature, them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. So here's Paul is saying, I am proclaiming to you something completely new. It's the wisdom of God as revealed in and through the Apostle Paul. And I didn't come to you, you know, the Greeks, they want wisdom. The Jews want signs. He said, I'm coming to you with a unique, special wisdom, not enticing, persuasive, flowery words. No, I came to you with a content. So, verse 7, the wisdom of God. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. So now we have Paul declaring that the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, that's where God's wisdom is contained. That's where we find the wisdom that God wants us to know and understand. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. So we saw that in Romans 16, which were hidden in past ages. The hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, for us to be mesmerized by, for us to be thrilled by, for us to rejoice in. It's for our benefit. All these things were hidden, and it's not things that we're going to find out once we get to heaven. It's things that God wants us to know and understand today. And that's why you need to consider the source. Be careful who you listen to. Paul says that there's a wisdom that he is proclaiming that was reserved, hidden in ages past, but reserved for our benefit today, now that it's been revealed. Verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, because had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, and we often misapply this verse and say that these are things that we'll finally know and understand and learn once we get to heaven. Some people will, because they're rejecting it today, at least Christians who are rejecting it today. God wants us to know now. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard. Nothing, you will not find it in the word of God as proclaimed in prophecy to the nation of Israel. Things, ear hasn't heard these things. These things are hidden. These were not revealed before. eye has not seen these things, ear has not heard them, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Who loves him? That's us. We are those that are considered those who are in the context of God's agape love. Verse 10, but God has revealed them unto us, hidden before, ear has not heard, eye has not seen, they have not entered into the heart of man until now. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. The Spirit of God reveals these truths to us. And the only way, as we'll see in this passage, the only way any individual person can understand and grasp and see things and hear things that are contained in the mystery truths of God's wisdom as revealed here, the only way is by having the Spirit of God. You'll see that. God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? The only reason we can understand things that humans can understand is because we have the spirit of man. We are made of body, soul, and spirit. And we're able to understand things that no matter how much you train a monkey or a dog or a serpent or a rat, they can't grasp these things. In fact, even an unbeliever cannot grasp these things because these things are spiritually understood. What man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. The only way we can understand and grasp this wisdom that is revealed in the mystery truth, which was before hidden, which no ear or eye or any heart was able to see, hear, and understand before until now, but God has now revealed them unto us by his Spirit. So what man knows the things of man except the Spirit? Even so, the things of God knows no man. We cannot grasp the things of God except that the Spirit of God reveals them to us and he's in us. Now, verse 12, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Why? One of the functions, one of the purposes, one of the abilities that we're given by the indwelling Spirit of God in the life of every believer is, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely graced, freely given to us of God. God wants your eyes, your spiritual eyes to see things, your spiritual ears to hear things, the spiritual heart to grasp things that God has revealed for us today. And that is why it's so critical that we consider the source, be careful who we listen to, because there are things that God has prescribed, revealed, that are the things that are given to us freely of God. Paul says, verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, he goes into the categorization of people. He says there are different categories of people, and the characteristics of these people are related to this revelation that God has given us. First of all, there's the natural man. The natural man, and there's four categories here, and we need to consider the four categories. There's the natural man in verse 14 receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Why do you think the natural man, that's the unsaved, why can they not receive, see, hear, or understand the things revealed to us by the Spirit of God? Well, verse 14, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because these things are spiritually discerned. These things are only understood because the Holy Spirit is in the believer, and the believer ministering to our minds, our hearts, our souls, the Spirit of God ministering God's truth to us, we are the only ones that have the capacity to grasp, to see, hear, and grasp in our hearts the things that God has taught to us in that wisdom which was a mystery, which was hidden before, but has now been given to our benefit, to our glory. The natural man, listen, if you are grasping these mystery truths and you are relishing the truths of what God is saying and grasping them, the significance and the meaning of them and how they apply to our lives, the only reason is because you have the Spirit of God in you. One of the reasons that, among many others, that God has given us his Spirit. So there's the natural man. Okay, the next category is the spiritual man. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Paul refers to people as spiritual. These are not the elite in the church. These are not the special people in the church this is not the clergy. This has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with an individual who has grown, who has progressed spiritually so that they can grasp the deep things of God, which are revealed to all of us by and through the Apostle Paul. Paul appeals to the Galatians about bearing the burdens of brothers and sisters in Christ. And he talks about In Galatians 6:1, he says, you that are spiritual. This is not a point of pride, you know. Legalism says, I'm spiritual. You're not. Because I evaluate my life based on what I do in light of what you don't do. It has nothing to do with that, with what we define as spiritual. God defines spiritual somebody who's matured. They that are perfect, mature, grown up, they're able to discern these things and to judge all these things, to discern all these things. Verse 16, for who has known the mind of the Lord, that may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. How do we have the mind of Christ? Through this wisdom that was revealed to us, through the Spirit of God revealing these amazing things to our hearts so that we can keep growing and progressing and being built up, edified in the truth. So we have the natural man, impossible for them to receive the things of the Spirit. They're spiritually dead, and the Spirit of God is not in them. They have no way to grasp and understand these things. Then there's the spiritual, those who have grown spiritually to maturity, to the full measure of the stature of Christ, Ephesians chapter 4. Now there's a third category in chapter 3 and verse 1. So Paul says in chapter 3 and verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. There's two categories right in this verse, even as unto babes in Christ. There are the new believers who here metaphorically are referred to as babies in Christ, and then the carnal of the people who are listening to the wrong voices, who are building their lives with the wrong materials, and it'll all be burnt up, it'll all be lost. Who are not building their lives with the wisdom of God, who are not building their lives with gold, silver, and precious stones, who are not studying the Word of God in a way that God has described and prescribed for us to study the Word of God, they are workmen that are ashamed rather than approved of God. And so carnal is, and in the case of the Corinthians, they weren't what he describes here metaphorically as babes in Christ, babies in Christ, as just recently saved. These people had been saved for a long time. Paul had spent at least a year and a half just teaching them, teaching them, teaching them. They didn't accept it. They didn't grow. They didn't progress. These are people who are willingly immature, purposely immature, listening to the wrong voices in Scripture, not understanding and grasping, seeing, hearing, and understanding the things that God has revealed in His infinite wisdom. Christ, the wisdom of God to us. And so he says to them, I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto newly saved, when you're not. Verse 2, I have fed you with milk. It's what you feed babies. And not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. After all these years, 4 or 5 years after you were saved, you can't partake of meat. You have a problem. There's a physical problem if a child can only digest milk until they're five. If they're not able to partake of solid food, there's something wrong with that child. Paul is saying, this is what's wrong with you. I gave you milk, and that's all you've been able to take. And that's why he says, when I came to you, all I could do was preach Christ and Him crucified. I couldn't progress. I couldn't develop from there. For hitherto, for until now, you're not able to bear it. Neither yet now are you able. So what Paul wrote the Ephesians, he could not write to the Corinthians. They were in no spiritual condition to accept, to be able to comprehend the advanced doctrine, the advanced knowledge of Christ. Verse 3, why? You're still carnal. For whereas there's among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal? You walking as mere men? And so forth. So, and that's the whole point of so much of what Paul writes to the Corinthians. So, the lessons. Be careful how you build. Consider the source. Be careful who you listen to from the Word of God. Be careful who you listen to. Be careful how you build in your life. Make sure it's gold, silver, and precious stones. Make sure you're building with the wisdom of God as revealed in God's hidden wisdom, which is now revealed to us through the Apostle Paul. Be sure that you don't resist that by putting your experiences and everything you've were taught before or have learned before. It's a house of cards. It's the wrong pattern. It's the wrong materials. It will fall apart. Don't you want to progress and grow and become spiritually mature? It's the only way is to do that the way God prescribed it. And that's the thrill and joy of being able to study the Word of God in such a way that we derive the benefit and the joy of what is true for us today.